Absolutely nothing. Hey, I know, and I'm very aware that it's 10 past 11, and I know my people are probably going, hang on, we wrap up about this time, what's going on? This surely it's time for coffee or whatever. I'm going to speak for about 15 or 20 minutes this morning. I'm going to say what I'm planning on saying because I believe God's laid something on my heart for us. Not just at FaithWorks Christian Church, not just at House of the Rock, and not just at Gisborne Church of Christ, but it's something for us all to really take hold of and take with us as we launch out into the new year. Two more days, and then we'll be in 2019. So before I get started, I should introduce myself. My name's Paul Crothers, and I am the Senior Minister of Gisborne Church of Christ. Now, in September of this year, I took up a hobby. Well, actually, it was an old hobby. It was a hobby that I'd done 10 or so years before and then for different reasons given it up and then just recently took it up. And the hobby is bike riding, getting on the bike and not just, you know, I'm not talking about just sort of going for these nice recreational rides here. I'm talking about getting into the gear, putting the proper shoes on, getting onto the proper bike and actually taking off and going on some long rides. Now, the great thing about living in Gisborne is that you pretty much can't go anywhere without hitting a hill. And if you're a serious bike rider, you go out looking for the hills. You don't avoid them, you actually go out looking for them and taking them on. So we've got some great hills in our area. You can go up towards New Gisborne here, up that first hill there, that's about a K or so. That's a pretty good hill, that'll test you out. Or you can go up past the Bowls Club out towards Riddle, that's about a K, that'll test you out well as well. We've got Mount Gisborne just over here. If you head out towards Mount Gisborne, that's about 2 Ks. And that one goes a bit longer and that'll certainly test you out, but we've also got the biggie, and that's Mount Macedon. It's roughly about 7 Ks of climbing, and that'll well and truly test you out, let me assure you. Now, I've learnt in taking up this hobby again that there's different stages you go through when you hit a really big hill climb. And the first stage is a stage where you're feeling really strong. And you're feeling pretty good about things. You've got this level of fitness and can get you to a certain area on that hill or way up that hill relatively easy. It almost feels like the bike's got a momentum of its own and it's just going up and you're going up pretty quick and it's all good. But then after a while, your legs start to hurt and your breathing gets a bit heavier and that's where the second stage starts. Now, the second stage is the worst stage. It's the longest stage of the hill climb. And it's the most challenging because the exhaustion's really kicking in here, but you're still a really long way away from the top. Your lungs and your legs are really starting to burn, and it becomes very much a mind over matter situation. Everything in your body is saying stop, but your body actually has the capacity to keep going, and so your mind just has to keep telling your body, keep going, keep grinding it out, keep putting those pedals over and over and over. If you look up and you see the hill still ahead of you, it can get overwhelming. And the desire to want to quit becomes pretty strong to turn around to go home. Now, most of this stage, what I've learned is just to keep my eyes on the road. Keep watching my tyres, the rubber of my tyres going round and round on the road because whenever I look up, it's too much. It's too hard. And then we get to the third stage. Now, the third stage is a good stage. This is when we're getting near the top. We're almost at the summit, and maybe you can see the summit in view and you're getting really close, or maybe you've ridden it before and you just know that you're close, and all of a sudden it gets easier. Even though there's still a bit of work to do, and even though you're hurting and you're breathing hard, it gets easier. Your body starts to relax. You start to go quicker again, and all of a sudden you're there at the summit. I think this illustration serves as a bit of a metaphor, I believe, for the church today. See, 2018 was not a particularly good year for the church in our nation. We've had the Royal Commission happen, where a whole lot of things, some terrible and horrible things that have gone on in the past have been exposed. But the result of that is that there's increased hostility towards the church. Within the media, within some areas of politics, and within other areas, there's this hostility that sits towards the church. And it becomes harder to share our faith in that context. We're also seeing in our society at the moment an increase in what experts are calling post-enlightenment thinking. What this means is that rationality and reason are seemingly winning the day. And how do you live out your faith? How do you share your faith in that context that demands for something to be true? You must be able to see it, measure it, and weigh it. And yet in Psalm 145, verse 3, God is described as a God who is beyond measure. How do you share about a God who's beyond measure in a culture that needs to measure everything? Then we have the all-pervading influence of the online world. Whereas a society, we're losing the art of in-depth conversation, face-to-face conversation, being able to have disagreements together and remain civil. Instead, it's happening behind a screen and hostility is increasing. People are discounting the idea that their view might be the wrong view. Poor little fella. I just want to say, hats off to the mums and dads who come with little kids to church. You know, it is hard work at times, but it's so good to have kids in church. It's good for the kids. It's great for us adults too. So kids, if you're here and you can understand what I'm saying because you're roughly age 2.5 or above, it's great to have you here. We love having you here. And parents, thanks for fighting the battle each week and bringing them along. It's so important. Now, I've completely lost track of where I was here. Let's see where I'm at. So how do we share our faith in a world where people are increasingly unwilling to accept a view which is not currently their own, let alone change their view at all? And my sense is that many of us today feel like we're in stage 2 of that hill climb when it comes to the church. The summit feels a long way off. The challenge is great. At times it's overwhelming and it feels that maybe it's just easier to stop, to turn around and go home. Now as 2019 approaches, I've got something that I want to say that I believe that God has laid on my heart for us here today, and that is that there is a new day coming. You see, the summit, we might not see it yet, but it's just around the corner. It's not far away. We're not far. I believe that God is up to something new. Not just in our nation, but here in our town of Gisborne, in our surrounding areas of the Macedon Ranges. And what I want to do today is explore just a brief passage, just one verse, where God speaks to doing a new thing, some 2,000 years ago, a new thing in the lives of the first apostles, the early church believers, where they were used by God to start the very first church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see, this new thing that I believe God is doing, it starts right here. In me and in you. It starts in us. This is where the rubber hits the road for us as a faith communities in Gisborne. You see, we need to allow God to do that new thing in us. We need to allow for His power to be on us so that we can be witnesses in Gisborne and in Macedon, in our nation, and even to the ends of the earth. In the book of Acts, we have the story of the whole the early church. The whole book of Acts talks about the early church. And through all of Acts, what we read is of the Holy Spirit showing up and doing some really amazing things. In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, when the Holy Spirit showed up, such was His power that the whole room was shaken. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit showed up, miraculous healings occurred. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, we've got this astonishing story where Peter's walking along the street and people are putting people who are sick and injured and disabled down on mats. And as Peter passed them, his shadow was healing them as he went. Or God's power through it. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit showed up in the book of Acts, people spoke in strange tongues. They spoke in other languages. They spoke of God's love and God's greatness in the languages that different people could understand, even though they had no awareness of what they were saying themselves. But what's really interesting if you do an analysis of the times where God shows up through his Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, the thing that happens most frequently, more frequently than those other three, is that when God's Spirit turns up, his people speak his word boldly. Thomas Edison, great American inventor and businessman, he said, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. I fear that as Christians, we give up on witnessing to others too easily. We get one or two knockbacks and that's enough. The rejection hurts too much and we just give up. But I think when it comes to our witnessing, when it comes to sharing of God's love with others, I think even what we feel like sometimes as failure is actually success. And we need to acknowledge that. See, even in the invitation, even inviting someone to consider Jesus, more than likely you're moving them along. You're moving them closer to Jesus. See, every time you invite someone to consider the things of faith, even if they're expressing the opposite view, and even if they're pushing you away, you're causing them to confront their own position. You're challenging their own understanding. And in doing so, even in that invitation, you're moving them closer to Jesus. Even when you invite them to a church event, and there's one coming up in a few weeks' time, what a mental health night. I saw the flyers down the back there, which is a fantastic thing that this church, FaithWorks, is putting on with Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, and a whole lot of others. Go and have a look at that flyer. Feb 7, I think it is. Ken, did I get that right? Have a look. A church event, a great church event that's being hosted. Even if you invite them to an event such as that, and even if they say, "No, I'm not interested," you might be just opening the door ajar slightly so that next time someone comes along and invites them to a church-related event, they'll say, "Yeah, I'll come this time." Even in the invitation, we might be moving them closer to Jesus. Every time we invite them to read a book or a resource that speaks to Jesus, even if they don't take us up on it, maybe down the track they will realize how desperate their need for him is, and they'll pick up that book, they'll start reading it, and they'll change, their lives will change. In the invitation, we've moved them closer to Jesus. I've set a personal challenge for myself for the next 12 months, and that is to be persistently bold in sharing my faith with others. Now, I say this as someone for whom this doesn't come naturally. I'm the sort of person where I can speak in front of 100 people like I am today and feel at home and comfortable, but put me in front of one other person and ask me to talk to them about Jesus, I find it really hard to do. But God is laying something on my heart and speaking to me about my need to step out and to do this more, to be persistently bold in sharing of his love and his grace with others. Just recently, I came across this book, and I just want to recommend it, especially to the blokes. It's a fantastic book, written by a guy called Jason Elsmore, who's a Baptist pastor up in Queensland. We won't hold that against him, either because he's a Baptist pastor or he's from Queensland. Great book. Strongly recommend you getting a copy. In fact, I've got one copy here to give away. Does anyone want the book? We've got someone up the back there. I'm happy to give it to you, but there's one condition. Once you've read it, you've got to pass it on to someone that doesn't know Jesus. You prepared to do that? It's yours. Come and get it from me later. But whatever it is, whatever method you're using, whether it's using a book, whether it's using a resource, whether it's sharing your own story, whether it's inviting people to an event, it doesn't matter so much what the method is. What matters is that we're sharing Jesus and we're inviting others to consider him. I want to encourage you today, as we contemplate the possibility that God might be doing a new thing here in our town, to make a commitment that this next 12 months, you will be persistently bold in sharing your faith with others. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 talks about how God's power will be on us. Now I think all of us would desire to see more of God's power. I know I certainly would. I want to encourage you, if you want to start seeing more of God's power, start inviting others to consider Jesus. You see, it's in the stepping out. It's in the opening up of our hearts and our lives and our mouths in sharing Jesus with others that we will see God's power. Now, this morning I knew that I was going to be doing this, and so I thought it's probably a good idea if I iron a shirt. I've got to look presentable somewhat, and so I got the ironing board out. I got the iron. I filled the little tank up with water. I put my shirt out there. I turned the switch on, made sure the power was going through the iron. It was all ready to go. And I thought to myself, what if I just stopped at this point and I let the iron the shirt itself? What's going to happen? I'm going to get a much more creased and wrinkly shirt than what I have on right now. I'm not a very good ironer, as you can see. Now, we all know, at least those of us who do the ironing, blokes, that in order for an iron to work, you not only have to fill up its little water tank, you not only have to get the ironing board out, you not only have to switch the power on, you have to pick the iron up and you have to move it across the shirt. Something I learnt this morning. I think too many of us pray and hope for God's power and look at it as though it's an iron that's going to work itself. God's normal modus operandi is to partner with us. And it means that in order for God's witness to go out, for God's love and His truth and grace to go out into our town and our communities, we need to be prepared to move, because it's about partnership. And there's two ways. I think there's two ways that I'll just share with you briefly about how we can be moving to partner with God in this. And the first one is to actually share God's love with others. And what I mean by that is that we open our mouths and we talk about God. As I've already said, not many of us find this easy to do. But we've got to find a way. Try different ways out. Maybe it is inviting them to events. Maybe it is sitting down and working out what your story in God is, how God has shaped your life. We've already heard it this morning with Anthony and Mel in terms of how God has shaped their lives. Some amazing stories of God's grace and His love flowing out and through. Whatever it is, find a way that works for you to be sharing about God's love with others. And then secondly, actually show God's love. Sometimes we can share God's love verbally in a way that's not showing God's love. We need to do both at the same time. We've already had two great examples. I believe that God's deeply concerned about mental health. Not just for AFL footballers, but for everyone. There will be many, many people here today whose lives have been touched by this issue. In fact, there'll be very, very few here today that haven't. God is deeply concerned about mental health. And we've got an example here, and there's others in our community. I see Tamara's here. PS My Family Matters, which is a local organisation supporting the carers of those who are looking after people with mental health struggles and issues and challenges. We've got some amazing people in this church that are doing incredible things, and they're living into God's kingdom by doing God's kingdom work. I think God's all for good mental health. I think God's deeply concerned for our Indigenous brothers and sisters in our country. He's deeply concerned. And so we have someone like Mel who's looking to go out into some of the very remote parts of our nation just to see what she can do and how she can be used by God. It's about actually showing God's love, not just sharing God's love. I wonder what it looks like for you. As 2019 approaches, to share God's love with others and to show His love with others. In finishing up, I want to come back to my bike. I like my bike. When I'm riding up Mount Macedon, I've done it 3 times. I'm barely fit enough to make it to the top. It's hard, hard work. Where's Oscar Gallus? Oscar told me he was going for a ride today, going up Mount Macedon, but you're not going to go the whole way. You can do it, mate. You can get the whole way. You do it. It's hard work to get up Mount Macedon. It takes me about 50 minutes to get up that hill, and it's just, you know, that stage two I was telling you, that's about the 45 minutes of it. Grinding those pedals up, up, up. I mean, the feeling when you get to the top's incredible, but it's hard work getting there. Coming down, however, 7 minutes. And you don't even have to pedal. And your average speed is about 60k an hour. It's amazing. It's fantastic. You see, when God's power is at work, it's like going down the mountain, not climbing up it. It's not about striving. It's not about our effort. It's not about our grunt. It's not about relying. Sorry, it is about relying on God. I'm glad I tidied that up. See, it's much more about our stillness in prayer, in seeking His power. It's much more about our boldness in faith, in speaking out His love and His truth. I want to invite everyone to stand with me now. And I just want to pray. And I pray for God's Holy Spirit to be empowering us for what He has for us in the year ahead. And if you feel comfortable doing so, just hold out your hands to God as we pray. Let's take that position of receiving as we ask for His Holy Spirit to come upon us in power, to proclaim His word boldly. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning with open hearts and open minds and with a posture of receiving from You. And Lord, we know that that which has been spoken about today is so challenging. It can be so hard for us to do in the climate that we live, in the culture in which we exist, which seems so hostile to the church and the things of You. And yet You ask us to do it, but not only do You ask us, You equip us. And so we receive from You afresh today, Your Holy Spirit, Your empowering. And Lord, I pray for each and every one that is here today, that we would have a boldness that we've never had before. A boldness to speak Your love, to speak Your grace and Your truth, and to show people how much it is You love them by us loving them as You would. We receive from You afresh today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.